It's time now for the WBNJ Unforgettable Radio Theater with your host, Michael Alexander.
Welcome. It's already been 7 days since the last show, so it's time for another journey back to the golden age of radio. As the announcer said, I'm Mike Alexander. I'll be your guide as we travel back to listen to episodes, highlights, and excerpts from the classic programs of that time. While the time portal is warming up, please find your seat as I tell you about this week's journey. This week's journey is to honor Eddie Cantor, who was born on January 31st, 1892. We'll travel back to 1947 to hear an episode from one of his many comedy variety shows. Then it's off to 1949 to hear Eddie in a rare dramatic role on one of the better thriller shows. Everything is set to go, but first the answer to last week's question about Humphrey Bogart. I asked you the name of his fourth wife, the one Bogey considered the love of his life. Her name was Lauren Bacall. She was his co-star in the movie To Have and Have Not, her first movie. She was the female lead and had been cast by Howard Hawks. Prior to that, she had been a model and appeared in two plays. She was 19 and Bogey 44. Everybody got this right. Okay, it's time to start the journey. This stop will be to Thursday, June 12, 1947, to hear an episode of the Pabst Blue Ribbon Show starring Eddie Cantor. Cantor was born in New York City to Russian Jewish immigrant parents. Just like Bogart, Cantor's birthday has been questioned. It is reported as January 31st, the date I used for this journey honoring him, or on Rosh Hashanah, which was either September 10th or 11th in 1892. No birth certificate exists to put the controversy to rest. Cantor's mother died of tuberculosis when he was 2. His father also passed when Cantor was young. There is no date of the passing, as no death certificates exist. Cantor was raised by his maternal grandmother. By his early teens, Cantor was winning talent contests at local theaters and appearing on stage. One of his early jobs was as a singing waiter at Carrie Walsh's Coney Island Saloon. A young Jimmy Durante accompanied him on the piano. He made his first public vaudeville appearance in 1907. 10 years later, Cantor made his Broadway debut in the Ziegfeld Follies of 1917. He continued in the Follies until 1927. Cantor first appeared on radio in 1922, but his appearance on Rudy Valley's show in 1931 led to a 4-week tryout on the Chase and Sanborn Hour. Now, as I turn back the Time Portal's radio dial to Thursday, June 12, 1947, here is the Pabst Blue Ribbon Show entitled Eddie Interviews a Prospective Son-in-Law.
Bert Gordon, the Mad Russian, Cookie Fairchild and his orchestra, the Sportsman, the Blue Ribboneers, and yours truly, Harry Bonzel, bring you
the Eddie Cantor Pabst Blue Ribbon Show.
What do I do on Monday? Dream, dream, dream. What do I do on Tuesday? Dream, dream, dream. Wednesday, Thursday comes and then I do the same thing over again. Oh, what do I do on Friday? Dream, dream, dream. Gee, but I'm a busy guy. I make a nice living, strange as it seems. I'm just the guy who's getting by living on dreams. And what do I do on weekends? I'm with you. And my dreams come true.
Just dream when the day is through. Dream, that's the thing to do.
What do I do on Monday?
Dream, dream, dream.
What do I do on Tuesday?
Dream, dream, dream.
When and then I do the same thing over again.
Oh, what do you do on Friday?
Dream, dream, dream.
Gee, but you're a busy guy.
I make a nice living, strange as it seems. I'm just the guy who's getting by living on dreams. And what do I do on weekends? I'm with you. Then my dreams come true.
Friends, let's turn the clock back to last Friday. We are in the Cantor household. It is early morning. In the semi-darkness, a figure quietly gets out of bed, stealthily tiptoes across the room to a chair, over the back of which hangs a pair of pants. Silently, the figure goes through the pockets.
That Ida, she never keeps any money in her slacks.
Now, the figure starts to dress. First, he puts on his shorts.
Which pair shall I wear today? The blue ones with the red polka dots? Oh, no, I wouldn't dare. What if I were run over and they took me to the hospital? The nurses would take one look at me and think it's Ida again. I know what I'll do. I'll wear the shorts the sponsor gave me. No, no. Those bottle caps scratch. No. Maybe I'd better... Who is it?
It's Marilyn, Daddy. Can I talk to you?
Well, wait a minute, honey. I'll put on a robe. Come out. What is it, Marilyn?
Daddy, I want to use the car today.
But, Marilyn, today is Janet's turn to use the car.
Oh, but, Daddy...
Then it's Edna's turn, then Natalie's. You know the rules, Marilyn. You'll have to wait your turn. You know the way the house is run. Democracy, equality. Nobody is better than anybody else.
Oh, but I got a date with a fellow.
Nobody gets in a fellow? Take the car. Take the chauffeur. I'll put in the gas. What the fuck?
Oh, thanks, Daddy.
Wait a minute, I'll lie down for a while. A fella.
Oh,
by the way, Marilyn, this fella, is he serious?
Well, look at my finger.
An engagement ring.
Isn't it beautiful?
Beautiful, she says. You can hardly see the stone. And what you can't see looks like glass. The ring isn't even gold. When your mother and I were engaged, you should have seen the ring I gave her.
Daddy, read the inscription inside.
To Ida from Eddie. With a beautiful solid gold ring with a 4-carat diamond. Tell me, darling, where did you get it?
Mother lent it to me.
Lent it to you? What kind of a fellow are you going with? Can't he even afford an engagement ring? I'd like to meet him.
Oh, that must be him now.
Good. I want to talk to that fellow.
Daddy, what are you going to do?
Do? I'm going to sell him this engagement ring.
Daddy, this is Jack, and I'll leave you two alone.
Come in, young man, come in.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cantor.
So you're the young man who's going to marry my little Marilyn, huh?
That's right.
Oh, come into the dining room, have some breakfast. Get strong, come on in, come on in.
Thank you. Thank you.
Marilyn is a lovely girl, you know, and of course I have four other girls.
Yes, they're all lovely.
Really? You'll stay for lunch, huh?
Thank you.
Incidentally, you're not an only child, are you?
Oh, no. No, there are four besides me.
Four? Bring them over for dinner, huh?
Yes, four sisters.
On the corner, you'll find a hamburger stand. I'm only joking, son. You know, comedians, radio. Don't be nervous. Every young fellow has to have a talk with his prospective father-in-law. I remember the time I had to speak to Ida's father. It was exactly like this, except for one thing.
What's that?
You and I are talking English. You know, Portuguese is not easy. Especially a Litvak Portuguese. My boy, let me tell you something. You know, marriage is the best thing in the world for a man. It keeps him young. Look at a fellow like me. I've been... married 33 years, you know.
33 years?
Huh?
Well, Mr. Cantor, how old are you now?
38.
38?
Yes.
Mr. Cantor, how could you get married when you were only five?
Ida was a hillbilly. It's nothing. I was a child bride. I mean a groom. I had to marry her. Her father pulled out a great big...
Gun?
No, a salami. I thought it was loaded. Listen, I want to tell you. There's one thing you must realize, son. Marriage is a very serious proposition. There are responsibilities.
I know. All my life, I've looked forward to the day I'd get married and become a father.
The same day?
No.
No, but listen, young fellow, there's one question I must ask you. It's rather personal. I don't know exactly how to ask you. Maybe it's not even right for me to ask you.
$40 a week.
$40 a week? You expect to support a wife on $40 a week?
Mr. Cantor, when you got married, how much were you making?
You know how high food is?
How much were you making?
And clothing? The prices are exorbitant.
Mr. Cantor, how much were you making when you got married?
I was out of work.
You see?
But Ida was making $55. Listen, frankly, young man, my advice to you is to wait. Don't get married right now. Just because sugar is plentiful. Don't do it, will you? Don't. hands.
Well, that's very strange advice coming from you, the man who used to sing, potatoes are cheaper, tomatoes are cheaper, now's the time to fall in love.
I know.
The butcher, the baker.
I know the words. I take a note. I know the words.
Well, millions of people got married because of that song.
I know. Should never have started. I just got a letter from one of the people who heard me. Uh-huh. Listen to this. Dear Mr. Cantor, in 1932, I took your advice and got married. Now I have 9 children to support. What does he want from me? All I told him about was potatoes and tomatoes. The kids were his own idea.
Mr. Cantor, I know what's bothering you. You feel bad about losing your daughter.
Who feels bad?
No, what I mean is, you're not losing a daughter. You're gaining a son.
What you mean is you don't have an apartment, huh?
Well, that's true. But I thought that a man in your position, living in a great big house like this and with a reputation for generosity and kind-heartedness, would surely help us.
And I will help you.
Oh, thanks.
Of course I'm going to help you, my boy. I'm not one to stand aside and young love and... Sure, I'm going to help you. Here's the paper. I'll help you look through the ads. Oh, wait a minute. Look, we're on a page here. Here's an interesting one. For sale, house originally built for $3,000, now selling for only $98,000. Owner must sacrifice. How can he let it go so cheap? Oh, here's something. Look, for sale, house overlooking Lana Turner's home. Completely furnished with gas range, refrigerator, and high-power telescope. Say, that's interesting.
Oh, Mr. Cantor, what's the use? With this terrible housing shortage, it looks like Marilyn and I can't get married.
Can't get married? Don't say that. It shouldn't be that way. It's not only you and Marilyn, it's all young people who want to get married. Why, if this situation continues, nobody will get married. The population will keep dropping. And statistics prove that the only one who will be alive in 70 years from now will be Al Jolson. And there won't be any Crosby program, so he'll be out of work. Listen, something has to be done. Something has got to be done about this housing problem, and I'm the one who'll do it. I've got experience. I'm going to Washington. Hand me my suitcase.
But Mr. Cantor.
My mind is made up. Give me my hat.
But Mr. Cantor.
Don't try to stop me. I know what I'm doing. Give me my coat.
But Mr. Cantor.
What's the matter?
Aren't you going to put on your pants?
Hey, Harry?
Yeah?
Harry, isn't it lucky we were able to get a compartment on this train?
Sure is. You know, Eddie, I don't mind going to Washington with you, but you didn't give me much time to pack.
What did you bring?
22 bags and an overnight case.
22 bags full of... 22 bags full of clothes?
Yeah, no, Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Oh. What's in the overnight case?
Bottle openers. So, Eddie, you didn't tell me, what is the trip all about?
I told you, I'd tell you on the train. We're going to Washington to try to get Congress to do something about the housing situation.
Oh, situation is bad.
Yeah.
You know, I have to sell my house.
You do?
Yeah. Telescope and all.
Harry, we've got a long trip, so let's settle down and get comfortable.
Yeah.
Listen to those train wheels. Do you hear the song they're singing?
I don't hear anything.
Listen. Do you hear that whistle down the line? I figure that it's engine number 49. She's the only one that'll sound that way on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe.
What's the matter?
I've been waiting here outside the Senate office building for an hour. What's been keeping you?
Oh, I'm sorry, Eddie. I was walking along and I saw a figure in a slinky black evening gown, so I followed her.
Yeah?
You know? Followed her for 5 blocks before I found out it was a Supreme Court justice.
Oh, you fool.
Yeah.
Well, let's go in.
Yeah.
I want to have a talk with the chairman of the Senate Housing Committee.
Just a second, buddy. Only senators are allowed in here.
But
outside...
Mm-hmm. Now, what are you going to do now?
I know what I'll do. I'll crease my hat differently, take off my tie, muss up my hair.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Go right in, Senator.
It always works. Well, here's the office of the Senate Housing Committee. Pardon me, young lady.
Whom did you wish to converse with? Or talk to, as the case may be. To who?
I want to see somebody about building small homes for young people. They need houses. Young people want to get married.
He's telling me.
Look, miss, I want to see the head man, the man who understands this country's economic needs. Where is the man who can straighten me out on this all-important question?
How do you do?
Russian?
Yes, you children. Speak, children, speak.
Russian, what are you doing in Washington?
Nothing.
Nothing?
In Washington, you gotta do something. But if you must know, I'm Secretary of the Treasury for Ulysses S. Grant.
Grant has been dead for 60 years.
Not so loud, they'll take away my office.
Don't go away. Russian, what do you know about government?
Well, what do I know about government? What do I know? You are speaking to a man who spent 4 years in Coolidge's cabinet.
What happened?
I nearly suffocated.
Russian, you are no official.
I am too. Only last night I was at an international banquet.
Yes.
Every delegate was eating his own national food.
Uh-huh.
The Chinese delegate was eating chop suey.
Yeah.
The French delegate was eating grape Suzette.
What was the Russian delegate eating?
The British delegate.
Poop.
Yes, you can,
yes?
You are talking to an incompoop who has made a speech in front of Molotov. Here is what I said to him.
Yes.
Molly!
Wait a minute! You call Molotov Molly?
His name is Maya.
No! No! Russian! Don't... Do me a favor, don't look at me, will you?
What do you want me to do, look at myself?
All right! You suffer what? Listen, Russian.
I've been suffering for years.
All right. Russian. Russian, I've come to Washington to try to do something about the housing situation.
What? The coinky-dinky?
Coinky-dinky? Coinky-dinky?
Are you trying to say a coincidence?
Oh. Will you stop it?
As I started to say.
Yes.
We were just discussing the subject of housing in Congress.
Yes.
And the sum total of our discussions was to recommend a two-room, fee-free, prefabricated house from Sears Roebuck.
A prefabricated house from Sears Roebuck.
Wait till I get a hold of that dentist.
Yeah. So what happened? When I get through with you, you use two dentists. Listen. What happened with the prefabricated house from Sears Roebuck?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Well, I bought one, but I couldn't use it.
Why not?
Sears was living in one room, and Roebuck was living in the other. So, taking the cow by the horn...
No. You mean the bull.
That I found out after I got a handful of milk.
All right, continue.
I decided the whole trouble was the labor shortage.
Yes.
So I invented a machine that will build a house in 2 hours.
2 hours?
It does away with carpenters, mm-hmm. bricklayers, mm-hmm. plumbers, and electricians.
Why, Russian, that is amazing. But why aren't they using your machine?
It takes 900 men to operate it.
Russian, you don't understand the first thing about housing.
But I do. The whole thing is a matter of inflation.
Yeah.
Kemper, do you know what inflation is?
Well, of course.
Then I'll explain it to you.
All right, go ahead.
You go into a store and you want to buy a rubber balloon.
Yes.
It costs 20 cents.
Uh-huh.
With air in it, it costs 30 cents. That's inflation.
Wait a minute. What is your point?
When you got to blow, you got to blow.
Russian, you're confusing me.
Don't worry, I'll give you a for instance.
Yes.
You want a for instance?
Give me a for instance.
Here's a for instance.
Go ahead.
This country is divided into two classes.
Yes.
The haves and the have-nots.
Yes.
The haves have... And the have-nots have not.
Yeah.
All the time, the have-nots are trying to get from the haves what they have not, and the haves are trying to keep from the have-nots what they have.
Oh, wait a minute. Which class
do you belong to, the haves or the have-nots?
The ain't-got will never get who am I working for, and let's take up a collection.
Russian, that is ridiculous. The phone.
Pardon me. My phone is ringing. Hello? What? Really? I'm glad you told me. Goodbye.
Wait a minute. Who was that?
Marco. His name is Meyer.
Oh, get out of here. Oh, this is a waste of time. I'm going over to the Senate to get some action on housing.
While Eddie and Harry are on their way to the Senate, here are the Sportsman Quartet to sing, I Believe.
I believe, I believe in wishing well. And I also believe in a lot of things, things that Daisy tells. I believe that a four-leaf clover brings lots of luck, lots of joy, lots of happiness. I believe those things. And when it's Christmas,
I believe in Santa Claus.
In Santa, why do I believe? I guess that I believe because I believe that dreams come true. If you wish for a dream by wishing well, don't tell the wish or you'll break the spell. It may sound naive, but that's what we take you now to that quiet place where Congress is in session.
The House and the Senate are meeting today to take up the problems of the USA. To jazz up the session, for the very first time, we're conducting the meeting entirely in rhyme.
I'm the Speaker of the House. Please, no cheers. I'll be Speaker of the House for the next 4 years.
The Speaker of my House is elected for life. The one I refer to is my dear little wife.
Order, order, order in the House. I want everybody to be quiet as a mouse. That goes for the senators from every state. The clerk will now officiate.
Order, order, tap, tap, tap. Without my gavel, I don't give a rap. I've held this job since 1930. I am known as Gavel Gertie.
I am a senator from way down south. Yuck, 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 and shut my mouth. When I speak, I use this tune.
Mr. Chairman, that's Effie Boone.
Gentlemen of the Senate from all over the nation, today we take up the housing situation.
Let us dispense with this idle banter. I give you your friend and mine, a star of stage, screen, and radio, also an experienced babysitter.
Get to the point.
Eddie Cantor.
Well, what I have to say won't take very long, but I can say it much better in the following song. Here's what I believe. I believe in a roof over every lad and lass. But instead of you passing a housing bill, it's the time you pass. I believe that the very people who built the ships, built the planes, and the submarines could build houses too. No one is asking for a fancy mansion, but must war heroes wait in line to rent a Quonset hut? I believe
in a decent place to live. Lincoln lived in an old log residence, but some kids today live in canvas tents, and this we must relieve. That's what I believe.
The chair recognizes the senator from Milwaukee.
I thank you. I believe that the situation's grave. Sherlock Holmes had to change his name, I see. Now he's called Sherlock No Vacancy. This we must relieve. That's what I believe.
The chair recognizes the senator from California.
I believe a Californian needs no house. He can sit in the sun from morn till dark.
After that, he goes to Griffith Park.
We are not naive.
No, sir.
So that's what we believe.
The chair recognizes the senator from Wyoming.
Why did I ever leave Wyoming?
Any other questions?
I believe in living Actor Y. Actor Y, I can live in a great big way. You see, it's the YWCA.
Russian, you're a heel.
But I am no Schlemiel.
We believe. Animals make us look dumb.
Beavers build new houses in the brooks. So what are we, a bunch of schnooks? Are we so naive?
No, this we don't believe.
Right on top of this week's mailbag is a request for an old favorite melody that makes us reach right down to the bottom of our memories. The Blue Ribboneers, Cookie Fairchild and his orchestra join me in bringing you
our Blue Ribbon Memory.
I'll be down to get you in a taxi, honey. Better be ready about 8:30. Now, dearie, don't be late. Wanna be there when the band starts playing. Remember when we get there, honey, the two steps, I'm gonna have them all. Gonna dance out both my shoes when they play the Jelly Roll Blues. Tomorrow night at the Docktown Strutters Ball.
I'll be down to get you in a taxi. You better be ready about 8:30. Now, honey, don't be late. We gotta be there when the band starts playing.
Remember when we get there, honey, the two-step, I'm gonna have them all. Gonna dance out on my shoes when they play the Jelly Roll Blues. Tomorrow night at the dark.
Daddy, you know, Sunday's Father's Day, and we girls were wondering what you wanted.
Well, get me something inexpensive, Marilyn. Don't spend a lot of money. I can't afford it. Look, remember what I told you last year? The gift is not important in itself. It's just a token.
And do you remember what we gave you?
Yes, a token, yes. A streetcar token. But, friends, you know, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful thing to have Father around the house. And with living space as scarce as it is today, it's also a wonderful thing to have a house around Father. Too many heads of families this Father's Day will be just another day of standing in line looking for a place to live. Well, a fellow like that doesn't need a Father's Day necktie. What he needs is a place to hang last year's necktie. So if you have any space to spare, by all means share it. Let someone use it. Think of certain other parts of the world and be grateful that in this country your rooms are rented out instead of bombed out.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
The Chase and Sanborn Hour established Cantor as a leading comedian. In 1935, he had his own show, The Eddie Cantor Show, which lasted until 1939. During his radio career, Cantor introduced and helped many stars. He was instrumental in the success of Bobby Breen, Dinah Shore, Deanna Durbin, and Eddie Fisher. In fact, Dinah Shore was on his radio show, Time to Smile. You're listening to the Unforgettable Radio Theater. Our trip back to the golden age of radio will continue after this.